views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Claim your power and learn to live your most amazing life with Mike Murphy Unfiltered Radio. Unfettered, unflinching, unafraid. Tune in every Thursday from noon to 2 Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com as Mike explores authentic and relevant truth and powerful conversations with some of the world's most renowned game changers. This hit show taps the dynamic principles of the creation frequency to unleash unlimited infinite potential and guide you to manifesting the highest possibilities of your heart. Level up your life and rewire your programming. Think new thoughts and create true freedom. Let's expand energy, build true health and explosive frequency consciousness together. Powerful people, powerful conversations, powerful listeners. Infinite possibilities, fostering peace and joy with an unfiltered heart. Now, here's Mike Murphy, Unfiltered.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Mike Murphy Unfiltered Show coming to you live every Thursday, noon to 2 Pacific. Hey, you know, I was talking to Troy after that last segment, and here's what I think could really help people, especially if you have someone in your life that's dealing with a health issue or you need to detox your body and you want to do this fasting like he suggested. You know, I've created an app. It's free at iTunes or Google Play. And you can learn all about it at thecreationfrequency.com, where I explain my whole technique of manifestation. But all this stuff is free, and you can download the app for free. And I'll teach you at that website how you can write a powerful health intention as if it already exists, so that illness is just dissipated, disappears. And then you record this intention into this powerful app that we give away for free at iTunes or Google Play. You record it in your own voice. We also have a relaxation technique that puts you into the self-hypnotic trance. And when you're listening to this intention every morning, every night, you start reprogramming your thoughts, your mind, your emotions, and even the 50 trillion cells that create your human body, okay, are listening to this. And they're conscious individual cells that want to bring you great health. So I encourage you, if you're struggling with anything, an addiction, a health issue, a financial issue, go to thecreationfrequency.com. Check it out. It's a powerful tool. I've used it for over 35 years to create the most magnificent life. I want you to get this for free. Use it. Take advantage of it to bring your life to a higher level. Because by doing so, you create a better world, and a better world serves all of us. So I just wanted to throw that out there. We have a special couple here today, Josh and Jeannie Rubin. And their website is East West Healing. And they're really experts in the thyroid, which is a powerful gland in our body that causes a lot of damage if it's not properly nurtured. And so welcome, guys, to the show. Glad to have you.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for having us.
So the thyroid. So first of all, tell us what it is you do when you work with people.
I mean, we do a lot, but really to simplify it, it's about teaching people how to use food to restore thyroid health. Now, that's like the kind of the shtick or slogan. But we say thyroid because most people that have thyroid issues, or most people understand what the thyroid is. And that's a simplistic explanation. On a deeper level, really what we're trying to do is teach people how to use food in a very strategic way, so they can begin to regulate how their cells are using, storing, and producing energy, so we can have a larger effect on all the systems and the nervous system, so we can begin changing the state of the body. And that's really what we're trying to do, because we truly believe that you cannot truly heal if you don't change its state, right? So we're all overthinking, overworking, overtraining. We're running from this line all the time. We're like, I'm going to take fish oil, or I'm going to be vegan, or whatever it may be. You know, essentially you're doing that and you're still running from a lion because your nervous system is still amped up. So we're trying to change the state to change all the systems. So it's kind of like looking at the body as a system of systems and as a cell, a bunch of cells, versus just one system, and saying, let's heal the gut. Yeah. Let's heal the thyroid. You know, so that's what we're doing in a deeper sense.
Let's talk about the thyroid for a second. Where is it? What's its purpose? And then what happens to the body if it gets injured?
The thyroid actually is a butterfly shaped gland. It's right here in your neck, just to be simplified. And it produces thyroid hormone. And this is kind of the interesting piece, because we could talk more about this, but based on our work, based on understanding physiology, studying different doctors, labs, and other techniques like body temperature and pulse, what we're seeing is an epidemic where people truly don't have hypothyroidism, and they're being diagnosed with it based off a single lab value like TSH. What doctors will do is, if your TSH is high, you have hypothyroidism. If it's low, you have hyperthyroidism. Right? That's like checking the air and the tire in your car and saying, you need to change the oil, right? You're oil deficient. This is not really a huge correlation. It doesn't make a lot of sense. So of course, there's other values that need to be looked at. But what we're seeing is most people's thyroids are producing hormone. There's something in their body physiologically, whether it be hormone, whether it be part of the endocrine system, you know, numerous things, glycogen deficiency, they're not able to convert the thyroid hormone. So we use the term functional hypothyroidism. The thyroid's fine. You're producing it. You're just not converting it, right? Mm. So that's really what we're seeing, what's happening based on looking at labs, based on looking at body temperature and pulse and correlating them. The problem is people are being told your gland's defective. You need to go on a medication. Everyone gets the same lab and gets the same medication. We have a problem, right? Why do the lab if you're going to put everyone on the same medication?
Right.
Right. And then we're seeing people just not getting results.
Well, this is often with lab values within normal ranges, and there's such a wide range, right?
Right.
So again, the epidemic stemming from, you know, the state of our culture, our environment, the environmental stressors. We're just seeing people coming up against so many levels of stress that start way early on in life and proceed to kind of layering throughout the years, right? So we're not taking enough notice and care into looking at that and what's suppressing that ability for that thyroid to convert, right, to work properly.
Right.
So we're kind of pulling all those pieces back together.
So the hormone that the thyroid produces, what is the name of that hormone and what does it do for my body?
Mm-hmm. So it produces a few, but to really simplify it for everyone, it produces T4, right? And your body uses that T4, like the liver, the gut, etc. There's a few other organs, primarily the liver, though. It'll use that T4 and it uses certain enzymes as well as minerals, especially like selenium, and more importantly, stored glycogen. It uses those things to convert it to usable active thyroid hormone called T3.
Okay.
From there, like you kind of said in the beginning, every single cell in your body, right? I usually say 37.2 trillion. Huh. You said 50 billion, whatever. We know
50 trillion is the number I always use. Yeah. But yeah. You hear anywhere from your number up to 80 trillion.
It doesn't matter. It's a lot, right?
Right.
Because we come into this world as a cell, all our systems are cells, right? Our liver, it's a bunch of cells. So when we convert the thyroid hormone, our cells use it to produce energy, which is CO2, ATP, and water, carbon dioxide, ATP, and water. So number one, that's really important because it allows us to keep the feedback loop going so we can keep producing energy. The more we produce energy, the more mitochondria we produce, which is the energy producing part of the cell, which makes us more metabolic, energy burning. And it allows us to change the state of our nervous system, sympathetic, parasympathetic. So the biggest reason we focus on this is because we can affect the entire body and the state of our body and nervous system just by allowing the body to convert T4 to T3, whether it's preventing something that's preventing the conversion or giving the body what it needs to support the conversion.
And I recently had a very dear friend of mine that's battling some sort of lymphoma cancer, right? And they got into a clinical trial, and the clinical trial, the drugs in the clinical trial basically destroyed his thyroid. He almost died. I mean, he couldn't even start. he lost his ability to almost speak.
Yeah.
You know, because of the dehydration. So when the thyroid goes, what causes a thyroid to go bad or get injured or damaged? And then what happens and how can we restore it?
There's so many things that can cause a thyroid to go bad. I mean, especially when we're
radiation,
talking
radiation, right?
Radiation, chemotherapies, obviously intense therapies like that are going to destroy that gland, given the effect of that gland on every single tissue in the body, right? Yeah. So it is going to destroy that. It's also going to have a serious effect on what's your neurological negative feedback loop, right? That HPA axis. So that's going to incorporate the gut, the thyroid, the adrenals, hypothalamus, pituitary, the whole deal. So that's definitely going to destroy the function of it.
You can't, if it's destroyed, like literally destroyed, you can't, unfortunately you can't fix it.
There's a spectrum.
But that's where our approach really comes in. We're working with different types of people. We're working with people that have a thyroid, mm-hmm. that have thyroid issues or don't have a thyroid. Right. And that's why we feel our approach is so beneficial, because if you don't have a thyroid, yes, they need medication, right? Some of them are very fragile. They have adrenal issues. So they initially go on T4 and then over time, maybe go on a T4, T3 kind of combo.
Right. If the thyroid becomes compromised for whatever purpose, reason, can it be rehabilitated? Can it be enhanced? Is there ways to really make it stronger?
If somebody still has their thyroid, 100%. There's a lot of opportunity to be able to do that. Because again, what's damaging the thyroid in the first place is the inability for the thyroid to function properly. So when we restore and recover how the system's communicating with itself by giving the body the tools it needs to make that conversion, then we're taking that burden off of that gland, right? And allowing it to work with synergistically with the other organs that it works with.
The two things that would really help is stress reduction and blood sugar regulation, right?
Those are your key
so factors. If you really want like an answer to that, like two things, it would be those two things. Now, people will say, well, my life's stressful. I can't just reduce my stress. And that's why we use food, because it's been shown that if we regulate our blood sugar by teaching the liver to store glycogen through using food, metabolic foods, and eating those meals frequently, what happens is, through blood sugar regulation, we take the burden off the adrenals, we put out the fire, we reduce the stress response, which is a burden on the adrenals and the thyroid and conversion. But then we support the conversion of thyroid hormone. Mm-hmm. So to help a compromised, thyroid state would be reducing stress through blood sugar regulation.
And I'll often hear, especially around women, like they'll say, oh, this woman's becoming obese, maybe she has a thyroid problem. Is there a correlation there or...
To some degree, I think anytime you see obesity, you know that metabolically there's an imbalance in the system. But I also think that we also see people who are very thin who have severe thyroid issues. So I don't think we can put people in a category of, heavier or skinny and determine whether or not they have a thyroid issue. Absolutely. Especially in this day and age.
What are the best foods to strengthen the thyroid?
Well,
for us, we call them metabolic food. Yes. So it'd be like fruits and starches, like roots, squashes, etc. And then proteins like homemade bone broth, gelatin, whitefish, shellfish, dairy, eggs, and then muscle meats like, organ meats like liver, and then muscle meats like lamb, venison, buffalo, chicken, etc. Mm-hmm. But the first ones I just said would be the most beneficial, the less heavier proteins.
And the most digestible, most metabolic foods that the body is able to break down, because it's designed to do that. Yeah. So again, we're always looking to meet the body where it is. And when we speak about food, there is a category of foods that are going to be most appropriate for thyroid, but it always comes back to where somebody is physiologically, because that's going to help us determine what's happening digestively and what is going to support that person. So if one of the goals is to reduce stress, then we have to kind of surround that. And where are all the areas that we're experiencing stress, and how do we use our food to kind of mitigate that, right? And to reduce those stress hormones, because that's essentially what, again, is shutting that down.
Exactly. Yeah. Is this the reason, like when you have a dental x-ray taken, they put that heavy thing and they pull it all the way up here? Are they primarily trying to protect the thyroid from the...
Your other vital organs.
Yeah.
But it would seem to me this would be the most sensitive and could do the most damage, right?
Yeah.
So let's say I have a listener out there and they're having problems with their thyroid or just their overall health, and they come to you. How would they work with you?
Well, I,
ahead.
I think even just going back to your last question, it's about the food, 100%. And that for us is a piece to the foundation, because I think most people are not eating these foods, right? So it's a huge shift. It's getting comfortable with learning how to buy them, use them, getting comfortable with that, you know, eating a little bit more throughout the day to kind of fuel that fire. But that is the other big piece of it. It's the frequency piece of it. It's not just eating the food, because you can eat two meals a day of metabolic foods. You're not going to stoke that fire. It's finding out individually how to use the foods frequently to regulate your blood sugar so you can start supporting thyroid hormone conversion.
Yeah, it's really about food placement. And again, it's also understanding. So when people start working with us, the first thing we want to know is where they come from. What's the story? How did we get where we're going? So that we can have a better, a clearer picture. And where are we today, right? So we can have a clear picture of where we need to go and how we're going to do that. So again, we have to realize when people are coming to us, they're in a state of chaos. They're, the fire's burning. They've been chasing their tails 24/7. Their bodies perceive them running a marathon. So we're going to look at all of that, and we're going to help them begin to use their food in a strategy. That's our food strategy that interrupts and essentially is doing for the body what it can't do for itself, so we can recover those systems and over time, again, adapt the body back into more of a homeostatic state.
And what I'm hearing from you guys, it's resonating with me, is that a lot of stress can be just as damaging as poor nutrition.
Well, here's the thing. If you study the work of Hans Gilliatt, he talked about how we're in this kind of day and age where most diseases are because of stress, right? Now, when we say stress, we're not saying you can't live in stress, because stress doesn't kill us.
Right.
It's our reaction to us that does, right? Because if we're more resilient, you know, our day is less stressful, or we're
able to recover much.
We're able to recover or adapt to it. But when we're less resilient, it's hard for us to do that. So the littlest things become a stress. But it's everything on top of that. And that's why we're teaching people to use food, because it's the easiest thing that we can utilize, just like breathing. Like breath work is really popular right now. And people are saying it's the remote control to the brain. Breathe through your nose. We can tap into the brain. We can tap into the nervous system to begin to change the state of our system. You could do the same thing with food. You don't need fancy machines. You don't need fancy supplements. You just have to use your food strategically to do that, you know?
But you do have to tune in.
Yeah, I mean,
well, exactly.
That's what we're asking people to do, is kind of step outside of the norm and let's look at you.
Feel.
Let's feel what's happening in your body.
But look how difficult it is for the ordinary person. Okay, so you know we're into this, we're aware, we're conscious, right? But I look at people, you know, that the way technology is ramping up and things are moving so quickly, and you don't know if it's organic or not, just because you go down to Whole Foods and it says organic, it doesn't mean it's organic, right? And then the time that's involved, you know, I'm fortunate, I have a wife that, you know, she can go buy good food and prepare it properly, but most people can't do that. And then on top of that, because of the increase in taxes and inflation, both parents are working or both people are out of the home, it's difficult to create the time and the energy to really do this. Any ideas or suggestions for people that don't have the time?
Well, I think we have to take it piece by piece, right? I think when we look at the big picture, it gets very overwhelming. And that's what we guide our clients through, is a piece by piece. Like, how do we take all of this information? Where we need to go, and begin to do it in a way that allows us to begin to adapt our lifestyle into more of a way that's not going to compromise us in the long term.
I mean, it's going to be different for everyone, of course, but the key is to start small. Everyone's like, oh, I can't eat six meals a day, and I can't buy organic food, and I can't do all this stuff. You don't have to do all this stuff. What can you do right now? Like, I'll say to a client, maybe let's just focus on breakfast. Maybe I want you to start eating breakfast within 15 to 30 minutes of waking up.
Okay.
I don't care what you eat the rest of the day. I don't even care if you eat. Let's just really get breakfast down. So you learn to wake up, eat, and you accomplish that. And then we can grow. Mm-hmm. It could be different for someone else. You know, it could be just getting them to wake up and lay in bed for 10 minutes and do some breath work. But I think what it really comes back to is go slow, right? And focus on one thing at a time, because something we always say to clients is health is not a destination, right? It's a journey. So just embrace it. You're never going to reach this point. If you do, you're dead, right? Yeah. Because once you can walk, you're going to want to run. So just embrace it and focus on one little thing at a time.
Yeah. And I think we all have an idea, right? I think we all kind of know what we're doing that isn't working. So even if we can kind of take a look at that and say, okay, well, what is that one thing that keeps speaking to me, that keeps kind of reminding me over and over again that it's not working for me?
Right.
Perfect. Start there, right?
You guys mentioned earlier body temperature and pulse. Is there a way to, after I eat a meal, to measure my system to see how that food interacted with my system?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
How would that work?
It's simple. You take your body temperature.
At what point? So I've eaten my meal. At what point do I do it?
30 minutes after you've eaten your meal. So you allow it 30 minutes after you eat your meal to allow the time for digestion. And obviously temperatures will vary depending on what you're eating in the mouth. So we want to let that regulate. So about 30 minutes, we take that reading and we begin to assess whether or not that food's working for you. But we also have to look beyond that, right? And in pulse as well. So temperature we take because, again, it is a great measurement for thyroid hormone, established very early on in the 1900s. Pulse we take because we know temperature can vary depending upon environment, hormones, infections, things like that. Pulse is not going to vary as much, but we will see the same correlations depending on patterns with those pulse variations. So we do ask for both. We're always asking for both. They don't stand alone. Yeah.
The best time, though, in my opinion, to see your baseline, it's kind of like getting up and doing a fasting lab, right? It would be waking up, laying in bed, right? That's going to tell you pattern-wise, long-term, am I making true progress, right? Because theoretically, in a sense, like if you eat sugar, it's sometimes with some people, it's easy for their body temperature to go up, right? It's energy, you know? So yes, we're looking at patterns throughout the day, you know, like Jeannie said, after a certain meal or two meals, but you know, that morning baseline is going to be the kicker because they've been fasting all night. They haven't been eating. They've been laying down. So right, it tells us a lot about their metabolism.
Yeah.
So test it after you wake up and lay in bed for a while. Pulse.
No. Right when you wake up, still laying down, you want to take it.
That's what I mean.
Body temperature, pulse. Yeah.
And that will be my baseline. And then after each meal, 30 minutes after each meal, I do it again.
We usually recommend breakfast after breakfast and lunch. That's it.
Okay.
It's just a guide.
And I'm with you. But if my temperature goes up, my pulse goes up, that means that food probably wasn't that good for me or?
There's a lot of things to look at
besides just that.
Yeah, we're not looking at it just on its own.
Okay.
We're looking at it in correlation. We always ask for 3 consecutive days because we can see a fluctuation that has nothing to do with actually what's happening in that moment, right? So it's patterns of behavior. But essentially, if your body temperature and pulse come up or regulate or stay regulated throughout the day following a meal, it's showing us to some degree that the body's able to accept that energy. It's metabolizing that energy. We're upregulating thyroid hormones, so on and so forth.
It's about stability and instability, right? So if you wake up, so a normal is 97.8 to 98.6, or for a pulse, we'd like to see people 70 to 85, right? Mm-hmm. So let's say someone wakes up at a 96.6 with a 60, you know, pulse.
Gotcha.
They eat breakfast and it goes up to like 97. That's great. Perfect. You know, and then at midday, they're like 97.5. Still not in the norm, but we see that stable trend. That's good. If they go up and then drop and then go up, drop, that instability is more like blood sugar. You know what I mean? So it's about patterns and trends, stability, right? We're not just going for perfection right away because we're dealing with
very deficient people.
We're dealing with a compromised state that's been like that for 10, 20, 30 years, right? And we're trying to really work at a deep level. So it's not going to just change like that.
What inspired you or motivated you guys to focus more on the thyroid than other parts of the body?
We like to say it kind of just found us in a sense. I mean, obviously we can say based on our history of like, our education and what we were doing. I think the kicker for us was a few things. We were working with people and at one point many years ago, and everyone was coming to us with stacks and stacks and stacks of labs, taking 45 supplements, and they weren't getting results. And then we kind of stumbled upon different people's work like Hans Elier, Broda Barnes, Ray Pete, and they all kind of talked about the same thing.
Which was what?
which was metabolism, cellular energy and cellular health, thyroid health, adrenal health, and it all kind of made sense to us. We're like, we're missing the big picture here. Everyone's trying to treat the symptom and treat the lab, and no one's treating the person, right? And that's where we kind of started to, the light bulb went off and started to develop our approach and really say, instead of focusing on a system, let's focus on the body itself because it's a system of systems.
On what's driving the systems, right? What's happening cellularly is what's conducting the communication.
So
it kind of just grew and grew and grew from there. Yeah.
Have you guys run across the work of Dr. Jack Kruse, K-R-U-S-E? He's a neurosurgeon out of New Orleans. Prior to that, he was an oral surgeon. And so he's really focusing in on how the blue light, the LED light, the light from the screen I'm looking at right now, and how this light is really affecting the quality 100%. Of our health. And we're ignoring the sun, especially the morning sun, 100%. And getting that light into our eyes and into our system. What is your work showing you about that?
It's something we talk about a lot. We talk about that in a sense of it's a tool, right? You know, I don't think like if you just live in the sun, you're going to like heal everything known to man.
Right.
But it is a piece of the puzzle. Why? Well, just like our cells use glucose for energy as well as thyroid hormone, there's an enzyme in there that thrives on light, especially like the sun or red light. That's why red light therapy is so popular.
Right.
It's something we recommend not to everyone, but to specific people because we believe it's a tool, you know. So we agree. I mean, technology, not getting outside, all these different things, fluoride, they have a huge effect on our cells, our thyroid health, etc. So, you know,
we can go on and on and on about all the factors affecting us, especially when we're talking technology, right? It's been shown that the human biology just can't keep up with the shifts that are happening, right? So what's our greatest defense?
Yeah.
Our greatest defense is to maintain what is here, right? Because we do have the tools innately, inherently built into us to be able to combat those stressors. They're just exceeding above and beyond in our capacity to kind of zone in on that and really acknowledge the effects that they're having on us. We're kind of a loss. We're in a little bit of an imbalance here.
Yeah, for sure.
And we're just trying to pull people back and help them understand the power that they do have through just looking at what is affecting them, becoming more aware of that so they can make more informed, conscious decisions around how they're using their body and their food, nutrition particularly, right? Because you can have such a profound effect just as like breath and light and all of those things can have.
Yeah,
but it is your foundation.
We use breath work too. And here's the thing, like, because you kind of touched on this earlier, our approach is about helping people create balance, right? You have all these diets that are like low protein, high carb, and then high protein, low carb, and crazy devices. And just we're moving further from self with all this stuff. We're trying to teach people how to get back to food and how to really get back to giving the body, like trusting nature, trusting their body. Right. So they can tune in to be able to meet their own needs. You know, it's like going back to the 1800s, the quote we always say, it's like, if you give the body what it needs, nature will do the rest.
Right.
We truly believe that,
you know, and we're moving too far away from that.
Right.
So we're trying to help people get back to that. Yeah. We want people to get outside. It's super important.
Yeah. Hey, we got to take a break, ladies and gentlemen. We come back. I want to talk to Josh and Jeannie about breath work and supplements. What are the best supplements for us? And really talk a little bit about fluoride that they just brought up. So I hope you stay with us and we'll be right back.
I'm Laura Meeks, and the most common problem that my clients face is all work and no play. This is why I created Fly High Living. I help you develop a balanced life plan and guide you to a place where you love to wake up in the morning.
Call 888-666-1570 or go to flyhighliving.com to sign up for the 4-week Flight Plan for Life course.
Did you know that when working with the law of attraction, it's beneficial to share your longings with a supportive tribe who can assist in maintaining accountability and hold the creative space for your desires to manifest? I'm Autumn Seibel, host of Golden Auger Radio, where the metaphysical meets the mainstream. Join me each month at the new and full moon to plant your seeds of abundance, consciously tend to your intentions throughout the lunar phases, then harvest the fruits of your co-creation with the universe in my Lunar Manifestations members-only forum. Your tribe is waiting for you at goldenotter.us.
Golden Otter Divinations Radio, where the metaphysical meets the mainstream with Autumn Seibel. Tune in the first Friday every month at 9 a.m. Pacific as Autumn, educator, health coach, and medium, explores metaphysical and mainstream strategies on how to elevate your level of conscious living. Draw in the abundance that is yours by divine right. For more information about working with Autumn, visit goldenotter.us. That's golden like the precious metal and otter like the precious animal.us.
Knowledge Book Radio with Marge Potasek has a special gift for everyone out there. To receive 3 chapters of the Knowledge Book as a special gift, send your email to mmjp99@gmail.com. That's mmjp99@gmail.com now to receive this fabulous, fabulous gift of the Knowledge Book.
It's time to get your life back on Burn Bright Today with Jennifer Marcinelli. Tune in each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn to move from the darkness of burning out to the light of burning bright. Jennifer is redefining stress and the energetic causes of burnout, shining a light on process to get your life back. For more information about Jennifer and her work, visit BurnBrightToday.com.
Our angels and animals are always working for and around us. Darcy Pariso knew from an early age she felt this incredible presence that was confirmed for her in a Reiki Level 1 course. From then on, she has honed her skills and dedicated her talents to providing answers, inspiration, and tools for people to move past limiting blocks and past traumas to truly live a life of happiness. For more information about working with Darcy, visit DarcyPariso.com.
Hey, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mike Murphy, and we got two amazing people with us this afternoon, Josh and Jeannie from the eastwesthealing.com, and they're very, very active on social media. So go to Facebook, search East West Healing, or Josh and Jeannie Rubin, and you can find them, and they're always posting great information that will serve you. You brought up fluoride before, and I have a relative who's a dentist, and we've gotten to many conversations about the value of fluoride. From your perspective, how do you see fluoride and what it does to our body?
Well, you know, it's a generational thing. You talk to my parents who are in their late 60s, you know, it's fabulous. You know, you talk to a newer generation that have, you know, done a little work, and things are a little bit different than they were, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. It's a little bit different, right? And here's the thing, and I'm not like an expert at fluoride, but I do know this, that it has a huge negative effect on our cells and thyroid health, right? It is a 100% anti-thyroid. And there's people out there like Lita Lee, PhD. She's a great resource. She talks about how, like, if you're eating all these metabolic foods, but you don't have a filter in your house to literally take out fluoride, which is expensive, then why even do it? Because it has such a negative effect.
Wow.
So here's the thing. Is it fluoride that's the problem, or is it the excessive amount that's being used by our population, whether it be in water, by dentists, et cetera?
Right.
Right. So I think it's the excessiveness of it. And that's our society. Everything we do, we just completely go excessive with. Is it going to kill the thyroid? No. But is there a huge benefit in the system? I don't really agree with that, you know?
I don't think rainwater has fluoride in it. So, you know, and I've done a lot of research on this subject, and fluoride is the byproduct, the waste product of creating aluminum. And if you were to take thyroid and pour it into a creek, your local right. creek, it's a criminal offense with a huge fine. So it is a poison, and it's not good for the human body. And more importantly, it also calcifies the pineal gland, which is right. our natural ability for our instincts to function right. best. Hey, talk a little bit about breath work. You know, I've read a lot of great things about how that can really increase our health for sure, but also put us in a different state of where we're more aware, more conscious. What about breath work?
Well, to be honest with you, it's something that I'm super passionate about, and I'm probably passionate about it because I've never really did it correctly my entire life. You know, I had asthma really bad when I was young. And then as I got older, you know, I have Jeannie to remind me all the time of how I'm breathing. And, you know, I had something happen a few years ago to my health, and I really couldn't do anything but breath work. I couldn't exercise. And it became a huge, like, motivational factor for me. But obviously we all breathe. We learn how to do it at birth. But through life, food, stress, we begin to do it incorrectly, right? And something we always tell people is this: the nose is meant for breathing, the mouth is meant for eating. Why? Teeth, cilia, right? Or hair. It warm, filters, humidifies the air. We don't have that in our mouth, right? And that's why a lot of people get exercise-induced asthma. Why? Because when they start hyperventilating more, that air doesn't get cooled. It's cold, it causes constriction, they get asthma, right?
Interesting.
Do it through the nose, you won't. So for us, breath work is correlates with everything that we do. Why? Number one, it's a remote control of the brain. So when you start to breathe and slow down the breath and nose breathe, what do? You change vagal tone and you quiet down the heightened state of the sympathetic nervous system, and you begin to create auto-regulation within the autonomic nervous system. Secondly, when you nose breathe, you begin to prevent the excess loss of CO2, and you begin to allow the body to bring oxygen to your cells to keep that feedback loop going so we can produce energy, right? So between our nutrition and breath work, it's a great marriage of getting our cells much more metabolic.
Is there different types of breath work that you teach, or is it just primarily breathe through your nose? Or what about holding in the breath and exhaling slowly?
I think for most people, the breath work is going to begin with just learning how to breathe in and out of the nose, mm-hmm. okay. right? That's going to be a really powerful practice for a lot of people to get into other forms of breath work. There are different types of tempos that you can do, holding mm-hmm. the breath, so on and so forth, that have different impacts on how the body responds to mm-hmm. it. But I think, again, that varies per person, based on their skill level, what their need for it, so on and so forth.
I think everyone's trying to do a technique. Why? Because it's cool. And here's where I think is the problem.
We have to work so hard. I mean,
right?
Yeah.
But I'm a why person. I've always been a why yeah. person, and I love understanding things. So it's like, if you can't breathe through your nose right. efficiently, without feeling like you're right. suffocating, and you can't access your diaphragm efficiently, right, then trying to do breath work to alter your physiology and your state, it's not going to happen, right? Because it's so labored. You're trying to right. do it. So we really want people to nose breathe and to increase that nasal plasticity before they go to phase two, which is learning how to activate the diaphragm, until they go to phase three, which is using breath work to alter physiology. And through our studies of different types of breath work, whether it be Wim Hof, Breathology, there's different types. We've kind of created our own way of doing it and our own philosophy. I'm not saying we created it. It's just studying all these different types, taking what we like, creating our own.
It relates to what we understand yeah. and believe, yeah. you know, the work that we're already doing, right? So, yeah.
so that's what we use. But breath holds, I think for most people, you don't need to be breath holding, because if you can't breathe through your nose correctly, then a breath hold is going to be a huge stress to the system, because then when you have to breathe again, you can't do it in a controlled manner, and that's not good. We don't want to do that, right? Okay.
So the main thing is breathe through your nose and exhale through your nose.
Yeah, like we tell people, honestly, become aware of it. Become aware of when you're mouth breathing, because think about it. If we're sitting here at our desk doing work like this, what does that tell us?
Right.
If you were to go sprint 400 meters, how would you be breathing?
Like that.
Through your mouth.
Right.
That's fifth gear.
Yeah.
Right. That's sympathetic. That means our cells are not getting oxygen. That is not a good place to be. Yeah. If you just sprinted, right. But not when you're sitting at your desk. That means you're running when you're sitting at your desk.
Or I even have a worse habit. When I'm under stress or deadline, I'll catch myself
not
holding my breath, not even breathing. All of a sudden my body goes, whoa, dude, you got to breathe.
Yeah.
You know,
that's information, right? That tells us a lot about our system.
Yeah. For
so we tell people, be aware of when you're doing mouth breathing, start nose breathing, and spend some time in bed in the morning, midday, and in at night. Just nose breathing.
So I think that goes back to your question, Mike, earlier about what people can begin to do.
Yeah.
Right. And I think breath is a really powerful thing. Just notice how you're breathing, right? And pull back in to create that consciousness and breathing through your nose.
And let me add a little motivation to the listener here. As I mentioned earlier, one out of three people will get cancer. One out of seven athletes end up with cancer. Why? Because they breathe in so much more oxygen. So that's the power of oxygen, because it gets into our blood system. It carries the nutrients, it carries the waste, and it creates a much healthier, stronger body. Mm-hmm. So awesome. What about healthy fats? You know, do you have an opinion on that?
Sure.
A big opinion.
Well, we're definitely pro-saturated fat. And our goal, you know, again, because of the population that we're working with, is to understand the properties within some of these more unstable, unsaturated fats that have been kind of deemed more healthier fats because of the effects of saturated fat on heart disease and so on and so forth. We believe kind of the alternative, right?
A healthy saturated
fat.
What would be a good food source for healthy fats?
Any coconut oil, obviously, is a powerful one. Butter. Anything dairy saturated fat is good.
Even in like an organic meat or organic lamb, right? Yeah, you're going to get a healthy saturated fat.
Like a grass-fed meat.
Yeah.
Grass-fed. And how about fish oil?
So that would be an unsaturated fat. So this is where we differ than a lot of people, because
I just want to preface this with saying that we do not think it is bad.
Okay.
Not bad.
Okay.
So it's the
But if you had a choice between a grass-fed beef or say fish oil, you would go for the grass-fed beef.
Beef.
And because of why?
So unsaturated fats are unstable, right? So it'd be like a bus full of people that's saturated, a bus that is missing a bunch of seats that's unsaturated. That means in the presence of heat, it can really easily oxidize, right?
Gotcha.
Now, it's been shown through a lot of research. Unfortunately, it doesn't come out a lot, or it is, we just don't pay attention to it. But unsaturated fats have a very negative effect, not only on digestive health, heart health, and thyroid health, because they have a negative effect on cellular energy production, right? They cause oxidation and kind of a lipid peroxidation or a negative oxidation. So everyone's saying, well, unsaturated fats are healthy. Eat fish oil, eat nuts and seeds. We're saying don't eat all these foods, because they can have a negative effect on thyroid health. Now, like Jeannie said, it's the excess intake that is the problem, right? Because everyone's snacking on nuts, they're eating fatty fish, they're eating tons of fish oil, you know, and if you...
To try to reduce inflammation, right?
Right.
So why don't we remove the things that are causing the inflammation versus try to find a balance, right? Which again is going to saturate the tissues.
Yep.
Because the body's preference from the cellular perspective is primarily monounsaturated and saturated fats, and a very, very 5% of it is from polyunsaturated. Again, we're finding an imbalance there, right? So in an energy deficit system, when the body moves towards lipid peroxidation for energy compensated energy needs, right? Now we're going to get a full suppression on the thyroid. How the body's able to oxidize glucose is now affected.
So to eliminate oxidative stress or to reduce it, and what do you suggest for antioxidants, like fruit, or is there any supplements that you recommend or anything like that?
We're not big supplement people, because here's the thing, an antioxidant is anything that allows your cells to uptake oxygen to produce energy. That's what an antioxidant is, right? She might be able to talk about a good supplement better than I will, but an antioxidant is just that. So when you start using metabolic carbs and proteins at each meal and snack, you regulate your blood sugar and you nose breathe, what are you doing? Everything you're doing is an antioxidant. It's allowing your cells to intake oxygen so they can produce energy with thyroid hormone and glucose, right? Yeah. So for us, the best supplement is food strategy and using those foods in a strategic way to do that.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. I mean, our goal is to, again, as I mentioned earlier, when working with somebody, we're looking at what is the most available nutrition for this person based on where they are physiologically. So we have to take into account what's happening digestively, right?
Right.
We know the system shut down, we're shut down digestively. Yeah. So we have to make that the most available. And through regulating the system, we know that we're going to increase absorption, breakdown absorption, so on and so forth. When it comes to adding in different forms of supplementation, is there one that's better than the other? I think it depends on the person and based on where they are in their healing process. There's a lot of supportive tools that we use. Some of the supplements that we tend to utilize in our practice are things like raw carrots, right? That's something that we tend to use. I have found things like B3, niacinamide, to be a very powerful supplement for women, particularly who have been on birth control pills or who are easily exposed to that high level of oxidation, right? Just based on where their systems are. I'm trying to think of other supplements that we tend to use.
It's very rare. It's about using food and creating that foundation first. People rely on supplements. Why? And this is the honest truth, and it's super harsh, but we're becoming lazy.
Right.
You know what I mean? We think, well, I have this problem. All I need to do is take, what can I do? What supplement can I take to fix this?
Right.
What am I missing? And it's really not that. We're human. The foundation is food, water, shelter. If that's not there, don't worry about anything else.
But I think we've lost our trust in food to some degree.
Exactly.
There have been so many diets out there that people have tried. So they're slightly disillusioned. Oh, well, how are you going to use food to help me, right?
Well, and the other thing is the quality of our food has gone downhill so rapidly. You know, I'm 61 years old, so I grew up in the 60s, and now I live in Medellin, Colombia. And so when I'm there and I'm eating that meat there or that food there, it tastes like when I was a kid. But when I eat food here, it tastes like garbage.
Yeah.
You know, you can taste the antibiotics, the hormones, all the bullshit, especially in the meat, is where I really notice it.
Yeah.
It's hard. I mean, our society, I mean, this is a huge topic because it goes deeper than food.
Right.
I mean, between pharmaceuticals and the government, you know, fear-based society, money.
Right.
It's a challenge. You know what I mean? Because it's literally a money-driven system. But luckily, there are places where you can get good food. You know, you can find organic food. And it's interesting because back in the day when we started doing this, it was about eating organic food. And now it's like you have to go to the source to get a good food because sometimes organic is not even like good.
Right, right.
You know, so health is about taking responsibility. And sometimes that just takes a little bit of effort to figure out what grocery stores you need to get to, trying different foods, and finding the best source that works for you.
Yeah, and I don't think apples are supposed to last 3 weeks on the shelf. So just imagine what you're eating to make that apple last that
long.
Right. You know? And so that really bothers me. What about exercise? What do you guys suggest to the people you work with as far as exercise?
Well, again, when we're working with somebody, we're looking at all the things that are affecting them in their life from a physical to emotional, mental standpoint, right? So a lot of people, again, they come to us, how do I know that I'm exercising the right way? We'll have them retake a measurement post-exercise to see how they're recovering. We'll have them observe, you know, through the following days, how they're feeling, how did they sleep that night, right? So we'll modify the tempo, we'll modify the time of day, we'll modify the amount of time they're exercising. All of those variables can be adapted or modified according to where somebody is. But again, it's coming back to where are we in the healing process, right? So that's where we approach it. It's not that one form is better than the other. But again, if it's leaving you exhausted and burnt out, what you're doing is not working for you.
And here's the thing. This is the biggest tip I can ever give anyone because you can really do anything, right?
Yeah.
But when you're healing, any exercise is a stress because exercise is stress.
Mm-hmm.
So let breath dictate the movement.
Exactly.
Nose breathe.
Yeah.
And do whatever you want to do to the degree that you can still nose breathe.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't nose breathe, then you're going too intense. You're like, well, I want to go for a walk. I want to go for a hike. I want to do CrossFit. I want to do yoga. Nose breathe. That's going to allow you to pull it back still bring oxygen to your cells, still be metabolic and not overstress the system. You might not be going 100%, but you're still getting good movement to meet your body's needs.
And just for the listeners, I want to say that's a really difficult space for a lot of people to be in, right? It's like, I can't do what I was used to be able to do. And emotionally that could take its toll. But again, it's acknowledging where you're at. What are your goals? What are your intentions? What do you want for yourself? Right. Mm-hmm. And then going from that.
Well, and the reason that resonates so much with me, because I do Bikram yoga, hot yoga. And when I just focus on my nose breath the entire 90 minutes, then I am so much more conscious and aware and present. Okay. And it slows the mind down for me for some reason. That's not like all over the place because I'm just focused on that breathing. And I think there's a lot of calming that goes through that process. Is that what you find?
I know I did Bikram for 13 years and the reason I did it was for that reason, right? It just allowed me to be in my breath, in my body, right?
Yeah.
Kind of like ocean swimming, which I used to do. I said, I love hearing my breath through the bubbles, right? Yeah. But I think, it absolutely, your breath will bring you back to your center. And I think a lot of us are so far from the center that having that opportunity to be in that space can be very valuable when using your body as a resource.
For sure. And it also makes the practice of the 90-minute practice of the hot yoga.
Tolerable.
Exactly. It eliminates the suffering.
Yes, exactly. Otherwise, you're not going to make it.
Yeah. Do you guys have children?
Can you hear him in the background?
I see you glance over there every once in a while. I wonder what.
Yes, we do. We have almost 3-year-old little boy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so you incorporate this from birth, this healthy eating.
100%. Yeah.
You know, what a blessing, right? Because I mean, I grew up on, Jell-O pudding that you put, powdered, and all this bullshit cereal and stuff. And those are hard habits to break. You know, that's all conditioning and programming for ourselves, right? And so I tell people, I say, because I really believe in, juicing. And I say, listen, you're going to have to reprogram the mind and the emotions, but also the cells. And then after a week of this, it's pretty easy because, the body gets the nutrition that it really needs and craves and not this other stuff that you've caused this problem, right? So what a great gift to raise a child like this.
Yes. Interestingly enough, we have a very picky eater.
Yeah.
So it definitely, is a challenge, but at the same time.
Where do you get your food? Do you go to like farmers markets or do you go to Whole Foods or how do you go about it?
We go to like 3 different grocery stores, believe it or not. We get a lot of our meats from Jimbo's, which is like an organic market. We go to Trader Joe's for specific like shrimp and scallops.
Produce primarily Jimbo's. Yeah, you're going to get your highest quality.
And then Sprouts, we'll get some other like, peanut, not like just other stuff that we need, whether it be stuff for Harrison or,
Yeah.
And how do you view breakfast? What's an ideal breakfast?
Essential.
Yeah, people should be eating within 15 to 20 minutes getting up, and that's hard because it can vary. Some people don't want to eat it's like eggs. You know what I mean?
Right.
But it doesn't have to be like that.
It's just something that's got an animal protein
and the carb
and the carbohydrate, and something that again somebody enjoys doing. A lot of people don't wake up with appetite, so a lot of times it's just again. Having something that's going to fuel you, restore glycogen reserves, quiet those stress hormones, prepare you for the day, and then maybe later you have a larger meal. But we get away from the idea of breakfast food versus lunch food versus dinner food, snack foods. It's what works for you. A lot of the time, somebody could be eating a dinner meal for breakfast because they need that grounding energy. They need that sustenance, that density to, again, ground hormonally what's happening in the system. But essentially, it's simple.
So what I like about your guys' approach, what I'm hearing and learning here today is one, you treat everybody as a unique individual with their own unique systems, their own unique needs and so on and so forth.
Yes,
and you really, really measure everything, right?
Yeah.
And so you're not just throwing stuff against the wall and seeing what sticks. You're really in tune and you're also looking at the whole entity, the mind, the feelings, the physicality, and then I'm assuming the spiritual as well.
Absolutely.
The philosophy is the same for everyone, but how it's rolled out is different because everyone in front of us is a different human being. Yeah. They have a different past, different history, different traumas.
But this this is why I get excited about. This is what we're so excited about the work is because over the years of applying it, we have really observed the reconnection from the mind, body, spirit, and the work that we're doing is we're pulling people back into themselves, right?
Yeah.
So it's so profound. And it is, again, such a foundational piece for any level of healing. Right? Yes. It might not be the only piece, but it is the foundation.
Because what you're teaching people is to take their power back and quit being a freaking victim.
Thank you.
Quit being a victim and quit relying on this bullshit that comes out of this box, right? I mean,
we're having a choice. It's trusting your body. It's deciding what you need and what you eat and really believing in your body. Yeah. 100%. And I think. That what you just said is so true.
And it allows people to decide what health means to them, right? Yeah. You kind of get to decide for yourself what level you want to take that, because now you do get to see, now you have a choice, now you get to do with it as you want.
It's creating your own story.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, our guest last hour, Troy, he said, you know, either pay the farmer or pay the doctor. And so you're teaching people to pay the farmer so they never have to pay the doctor.
Absolutely.
And I love how you measure everything, because I think that's vitally important, because a lot of times we're on this path, but am I doing this right? Okay. And it really helps to have someone coaching you and showing you and leading you through actual facts rather than just philosophy, right?
Right. And we always say that it's so important for us to have people see what it is we're seeing, have the conversation with them about what it all means, that we don't just jump at, oh, well, you have this symptom, let's treat that symptom. Let's look at the bigger picture and move from there. So we are very adamant about the data that our clients collect, which they tend to kind of fuss over a little bit. But at the same time, once they understand it, they've got it. And once you've got it, you've got it. You understand it.
You have it for life. You always have that tool, right?
Sustainable.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, Josh and Jeannie Rubin, I want to thank you so much for being with us today. And for our listeners out there, I hope you've really gained something from this conversation enough to go to their website, eastwesthealing.com. There's some great free stuff there, especially around the thyroid. There's a whole audio series. And also, they have only 20 spots for the next few months available for coaching. So if you're interested in taking your health and your health of your family to another level, I strongly urge you to reach out to these guys and let them coach you and help you and bring health to not only yourself, but to your family, and help us all make this a better world. So you guys, thank you so much. And I really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you join us next Thursday, noon to 2 Pacific on the Mike Murphy Unfiltered Show, and go out and make this the best day of your life.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Thank you guys.
Thank you, Mike.
All righty.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
You've been listening to Mike Murphy, unfiltered, unfettered, unflinching, unafraid, on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Thanks for tuning in, and don't miss the next unfiltered show next Thursday from noon to 2 Pacific time on TransformationTalkRadio.com, as Mike Murphy and a cast of powerful guests strip away the veil of limitation using the groundbreaking practices of the creation frequency. Tune in to unleash the power of your mind. Open the immense energy of the heart to manifest an awesome life filled with true health, wealth, confidence, gratitude, and joy. Unfiltered truth, unfiltered frequency, unfiltered possibilities on Mike Murphy Unfiltered Radio. For more information on Mike and his work, visit MikeMurphyUnfiltered.com.